The article came about as a result of conversations that I had a few weeks after the raid, in which I realized that I had a pretty decent purchase on the story and proceeded for the next couple of months to run around Washington, Florida, other places where there were special operations folks, intelligence folks, or political leaders based, confirming, verifying, and filling in the blanks.
And you can tell us your sources now, yeah?
Of course not.
I'm not clear. You didn't talk to the SEALs directly, did you?
I did not talk to any of the 23 SEALs who flew into Pakistan that evening.
So their recollections are from?
Are from people who were present at debriefings, who were present at various venues in which they recalled what had gone down and rehashed what had gone down inside.
On the night, I mean, there was a problem with one of the helicopters that you describe, and it sounds very dramatic, although the men on board seemed to take it in their stride.
That's right. So there were two helicopters, and the original plan was that the first helicopter would hover over the courtyard, and it would drop the 12 SEALs inside, and they would fast rope down into the courtyard. So the first helicopter hovers over the courtyard. The walls of the compound created such a phenomenon where the helicopter was lowering and the air from the blades was getting caught in this tunnel. The pilot began losing control, and he ultimately crash-landed the helicopter in a small animal pen that was connected to the compound.
And they simply worked around that?
You know, there was about a minute when everyone who was watching the feed had absolutely no idea what was going on. And, you know, within a minute, they saw the figures begin streaming at the side of the helicopter, and they continued on with the mission as planned.
Why was there a dog on the mission, Cairo?
The dog was there because, for one, they had no idea what the layout of the house was. They didn't know if there were false doors. They didn't know if there were secret chambers or compartments or anything. And so had they gone through the entire house and not been able to find bin Laden, they would have sent the dog in to see if he could smell a human anywhere else in the house. And the second of which is if there had been quote-unquote squirters, if there had been people that had run out of the compound, then Cairo's job was to track them down.
Reading your account, it seemed to me, maybe having watched too many TV dramas, that it wasn't very well defended from Osama bin Laden's point of view. There didn't seem to be many people around.
This is the $100 million question. Why was there no one there? Why was his security being handled by his 23-year-old son and a couple of brothers who were his handlers, essentially? You know, it was a double-edged sword because there were not that many people around him, the chances of someone finding out that he was there was decreased. But also, if two American helicopters were ever to land in the middle of the compound, then he would be almost defenseless. It was apparently a security calculation that he'd made in the years prior.
From the helicopter's landing to the death of Osama bin Laden, how many minutes was that?
I believe 17 or 18.
It's pretty unlikely then that Osama bin Laden will have known much about it until right at the last minute?
It's hard to know exactly what he heard, but I'm sure he heard the first helicopter crash. I'm sure he heard the gunfire. The SEALs made it upstairs into the room where bin Laden was, and one of them stepped forward and wrapped bin Laden's wives in a bear hug, assuming that they potentially could be wearing suicide vests and being willing to absorb the blast or to be able to allow the SEALs behind him to get their shots off. It was just astounding when I heard that. I fact-checked that numerous times. It's almost kind of too valorous to believe, if you will.
And that, let's stay with that critical scene, why don't we? Because there was a lot of talk and speculation afterwards as to whether he could have been taken alive, whether there's a plan to take him alive.
As it was explained to me, if they had walked in the room and he had been sleeping and he had rose out of bed and immediately thrown his hands up, then maybe in those extreme circumstances they would have considered taking him alive. But no one wanted detainees. No one wanted prisoners. It was a quote-unquote, it was a kill mission, as several people said.
Back in Washington, meanwhile, we're all familiar with the famous photograph of senior figures in the government, including President Obama, looking anxiously at a screen, and you go into detail about exactly what it was they're watching and why.
Mm-hmm.
In the run-up to it, though, there's some lovely detail in the piece about how reluctant some even very senior figures in the U.S. government were to go in this way, including the defense secretary.
Right. As they were developing the plan, Secretary of Defense, former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, was adamantly against it and was in favor of some sort of airstrikes that wouldn't put American lives at risk. He was eventually overruled as it was determined that for airstrikes to be effective and for them to be sure that they had killed bin Laden, it would have taken, I think, 32 2,000-pound bombs. The vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs told me it would be comparable to an earthquake. For the president, the prospect of flattening at least a portion of this Pakistani town was just not something he wanted to be a part of.
How closely were they following all of this in the White House, and how good was the intelligence and communication moment by moment?
They didn't have any audio feed. They couldn't hear what the SEALs were saying as they were communicating amongst one another. And so what they were watching that evening was actually a feed from a UAV, an unmanned aerial vehicle.
The article reads like a thriller, and there are moments in that line immediately after Osama bin Laden has been killed from one of the SEALs, isn't it? He says, "For God and country, Geronimo, 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 enemy killed in action."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the end of a film, isn't it?
Right. Totally. I mean, it's without having access to the audio recordings from that night, it would potentially be a little bit difficult to believe that they would have gotten a little bit, you know, that kind of cheesy. When the SEAL team gave the president a memento from that night, the flag that had been aboard one of the helicopters, they inscribed at the bottom, "For God and Country, Geronimo." And I think it was what everyone remembered from that evening.
But we will never know the identity of the person who killed Osama bin Laden.
We may not until one of the guys on SEAL Team 6 in a few years wants to write a book. But in that final briefing in which the members of the team and the helicopter pilots gave the president and his team a recreation of what had happened inside the compound, they never offered to tell the president who shot bin Laden, and the president never asked.